This is a very special day in the life of our country, and if you drove in today, you saw the flags and how well it was decorated out here. It's a symbol of our freedom and things, and I think this morning we're going to dedicate this service to God and thank Him for giving us this country and hope that we can continue to keep it great. So let's pray to Him this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to have a country where we are free, free to worship You as without any fear of being retribution or being imprisoned. And so we hope that You will continue to bless us and keep this country great and free. We are especially thankful for all the military men and women who have kept this country this way for all these years, and those who are serving now. They are a special breed of people, and we know that You will indeed bless them. We have people in our congregation this morning who are facing health issues. We know Pat is going to have surgery. Ron Hayes is still out, and so we pray for all of those. There are some who are in the last stages of their life, and we pray that You will make their passing easy. We are so thankful to have our new music director, and we pray for that this morning. We pray for Bruce, and we hope that his message on this day will give us new hope and renewed strength to get us through the coming week. We pray all these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for that, Mary Rose. As you can tell, we're in a little different configuration this morning with the choir up here. They are going to lead us in the first couple of hymns that we do today, and so we hope you will enjoy that. And of course, since this is our Independence Day celebration, I thought that I would start with just this short thought. We should think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. Peter Marshall said those words many, many years ago. Let us stand and salute our flag and continue standing for the Star-Spangled Banner. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the congregational prayer for the 4th of July. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33:12. Eternal God, stir our minds and stimulate our hearts with a high sense of patriotism as we approach the 4th of July. On this Independence Day, we are reminded of all those who have sacrificed for our freedom, following the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us not take our freedom for granted. May we always remember that a very high price was paid for our freedom, freedom that cost others their very lives. Grant that we may highly resolve on this great day to dedicate ourselves anew to the task of ushering in an era when goodwill shall live in the hearts of free people. Justice shall be the light to guide their feet, and peace shall be the goal of humankind. To the glory of thy holy name, and the good of our nation, and of all mankind. Amen.
We invite you now to stand and sing with the choir as we do Battle Hymn of the Republic.
The scripture today is Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
It's time in our service now for us to give back to the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. So let's stand again and sing the doxology together.
Praise God.
Thank you, O Lord, for our freedom. We thank you for your love for us. And we give back our portion of our wealth to you to support your church here on earth. Amen.
You know, many times in our life, they say a little rain must fall. Sometimes that rain becomes a torrential downpour and becomes a real storm for us. Whether it's financial loss, a loss of a job, an illness of a child, a loss of a loved one. Whatever that storm may be, what we do know is that the Lord's here with us after that storm subsides and will get us through it. So I would like to share this with you this morning.
On that bright, peaceful shore, in that
storm passes by.
Okay. Pat, that was inspirational. Wow. Great. I'm supposed to start a sermon now. Well, we have people over here, too. A man arrives at the gate of heaven and says, how do I get in? Where do I go? And St. Peter says, what's your religion? The man says, Methodist. Peter looks down his list and says, go to Mansion 24, but be very quiet as you pass Mansion 8. Another man arrives and St. Peter says, what's your religion? He says, Episcopalian most of the time, but sometimes Lutheran. And St. Peter says, you go to Mansion 18, but be very quiet as you pass by Mansion number 8. A third man arrives and St. Peter says, what's your religion? He says, Presbyterian. He says, go to Mansion 11, but be very quiet as you go by Mansion number 8. The Presbyterian, who is very inquisitive, as most Presbyterians are, right, Kay? Says, I can understand the different mansions for different religions, but why must I be quiet when I go by Mansion number 8? St. Peter says, well, the Catholics are in Mansion 8, and they don't think anybody else is here. There are a lot of good jokes about entering heaven, and most of them are about the pearly gates, and it refers to Revelation 21:21 that says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. So you see the joke is St. Peter is interviewing people. Very often it's a lawyer, a rabbi, and a priest, but I'm not going to tell any more jokes about that. Well, we're going to be talking about heaven. If you've been attending this church at all, you know that you can't earn your way into heaven. There's no way to do it. There's no approval. There's no stamp of approval. And there's no points that you can make to get into heaven. Our final home is a gift from God justified by our faith and sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now that sets the stage for our look into our final home. My final authority for this study is the Bible, which we're going to do a sermon series on heaven for the rest of the summer. Now, it's backed up by a 400-page book by Randy Alcorn on heaven. If you haven't read it, you might want to get it and read it. It's a wonderful book, and it's based upon the Bible. Can you imagine there's so much about heaven in that book? Well, our life in comparison to the lifespan of creation, be it 12,000 years or 12 billion years, depending upon what you believe in, is a mere speck in time. And we're a very active group of seniors here, and say most of us are going to live into our late 80s. I know, Dean, you're way beyond that. You're really superseded the average lifespan, and you're doing great. But we are but a blip on the radar screen of creation, be it 12,000 or 12 billion years. We are so important, though, even though we're just a little blip on this time frame, we are important because we're made in the image of God. It's hard for me to imagine that a God made us just to exist here for 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years. God has made us to live forever. Now, we'll be looking at what the Word of God says about our existence here on earth and our heavenly home. We'll be looking into the reality of heaven. Now, when we take a trip, if you take a trip, you know, the first time you take a trip to someplace, it seems to take forever. When you do it two or three times, it starts to shorten up quite a bit. We get comfortable and relaxed about our destination. And that's what I want you all to become, comfortable and relaxed about your destination, where we're going, and be confident in your salvation. We're going to learn a lot about heaven these next few weeks in the summer, and this is where our final home about, and the word is heaven. What is that all about? Well, look at Matthew's gospel. I'll read it again. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, for where your treasure is, there your heart is too. That's where our focus should be. We should embark upon the study of heaven. You know, the word heaven is found 582 times in the Bible. Now, it's not always your heavenly home. It can refer to the firmament and the sky and above heaven. Well, we want everybody to become heavenly minded so that you can understand where your heavenly home is going to be. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary, and it's interesting that our slogan 5 years ago, Mary Ellen, is she here? No. She gave us the name of our 55th anniversary celebration. It was called 5 Years Closer to Heaven. So this year, we're going to be 10 years closer to heaven, but I don't know if that's going to be our theme. Well, the staggering truth is that there's a deafening silence among Christians about heaven. How many of you have actually heard sermons specifically on heaven? I know I haven't, but we see it in funeral services and hymns we sing, but there's very little in-depth study that actually occurs. When I went to school in the Lutheran Seminary in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, I spent 3 years full-time after college, 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary. Spent full-time, and I cannot remember one day talking about heaven. Not one day. For some reason, heaven has fallen off the radar screen. I know when we were considering purchasing our home here at HEB, we did a lot of study. You know, well, what about this house? How about that comparable? What do we have to do to put into it? But it makes sense, doesn't it? But why don't we know more about our eternal home? And that's one of our goals for this summer. We are too earthly minded. We need to be more aware of where we're going and what our heaven is. I know just this past week, one of our members passed into the arms of the Lord, Richard Ficka, and his memorial service will be on Tuesday at 2:30 right here in this room. So I invite you all to attend. And Terry is with us here this morning. If you go to a Christian bookstore, you'll see all kinds of theologies about the Lord's return, pre-millennialism and post-rapture and whatever else there might be. But I remember sometimes when you take a trip, sometimes you go one place to go to another place because the journey is not important, but it's the destination. Well, very often we don't want to think about heaven because that means it's the end of our life here. That's what the Bible teaches. If you believe in the Lord, then you will be in heaven when you die. If you love the Lord more than you love God, if you love yourself more than you love Christ, then the Father does not dwell in you, but you need to know that the love of the Lord is the beginning of our faith. I hope at the end of this study that we're all happier, because I know that if I die this minute, I'll be in a wonderful place. So I live for today, and I love for today. So what do you know about heaven? Well, I think some people say, well, I think heaven's like this, or I think heaven's like that, or heaven could be this way, or heaven could be that way. But where does your knowledge come from? Does it come from just I think that it's good, or is it a sentimental value, or is it just from the hymns or from the songs that we sing? Perhaps it comes from the stories about near-death experiences where people go into the light and down a tunnel. Maybe your understanding of heaven is wispy and vague, a non-physical, ethereal place, like the Eastern religions teach. Well, for the most part, most Christians say, well, I know I'm going there, I know it's a place, and there's no more pain nor sin, and Jesus and God is there. There's a lot more to it than that. If we encounter a non-believer and they ask you about heaven or hell, what are you going to say to them? What do you say? You say, heaven is unimaginable. I don't understand what heaven is all about. As Randy Alcorn, who wrote this book, says, we cannot anticipate or desire what we cannot imagine. We cannot anticipate or desire what we cannot imagine. The problem is not that the Bible doesn't tell us much about heaven, is that it doesn't pay attention to what it tells us. 400 pages straight from the Bible, nothing made up, all documented from the Bible. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have heard entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love him. You know those mansions? You know, number 8 was where the Catholics were, and the 11 was for the Presbyterians. God has mansions for us. There you are. We can't imagine things that are inconceivable. It's a subject that is very large. Like, where do the dead go now? Do they go straight to heaven? Do they go to paradise? Do they go to Sheol? Where do they go right now? Have you ever thought about that? The last couple of chapters of the book of Revelation told about an eternal state not yet created where the dead go. In our Apostles' Creed, we say that Jesus went and preached to the dead. Those are people who were born before Christ came. So he comes to talk to them. Another question, is heaven a physical place? Or is it just a state of mind where we have a bunch of Casper the Friendly Ghost floating around playing a harp and singing hymns? What will our bodies be like? What will our bodies be like when we die? We're supposed to have a glorified body. Well, thank goodness for that. That's for sure. No more Weight Watchers. No more exercising. We'll be in a glorified state beyond what you can imagine. What will we know of a loved one who goes beyond us? How will that be? How will we relate to those loved ones? Mother, father, son, daughter. What about those people that we had problems with on earth? There are a few of those around, aren't there? Those people that we have problems with. Divorce, separation, estrangement, lying, cheating, irreconcilable differences that you are not able to take care of on earth. We're going to answer those questions. We're going to talk about that. It is so important because I know people say to me, how can I go to heaven? I see him or her, and what happens? We'll find out. What will we do in heaven? Will we be bored singing hymns for eternity and sitting on a cloud praising God every day? That's not too bad. Will we play? Will there be art? Will there be music? Will there be learning? Will we eat and drink? Will we have responsibilities? Will we travel the universe? Will there be other worlds? What will the New Jerusalem look like? Can we sit at the feet of Jesus and get all these questions that we have answered that we've had for the rest of our lives? We have questions about what happens when we die. How do we travel? We will know all these things. Will there be animals in heaven? I'm not suggesting that your pet poodle or my friend Riley, who passed away this last week, has gone to heaven. I don't know, but look what God did with the animals on the ark. Look what he did, and he created them. And the Bible says all creatures are part of God's creation. A new earth will be created, a new creation. Will there be time and space? Do we need watches? What about those mansions? What are they going to look like? It's hard to say. Perhaps the greatest question of all is, will we see God? Will we see Jesus? Will we really understand about the Holy Spirit, which is so hard to understand? Jesus said to his own disciples, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Our names, when you accept Christ as Savior, are recorded on the book of life forever, indelible ink. Cannot take it off. You cannot lose your salvation. we could be, we can act pretty stupid here on earth and still be saved, but do many bad things. But that's our humanity. We need to study heaven in great detail because it makes a difference in our life. It makes a difference in your life today and tomorrow. Well, Jesus said he came here on earth to prepare a place for us. And so what a great host he is. His hosting is wonderful. Who would say that he's going to, how many people will say, come to my house, I'll prepare a mansion for you? That's Jesus. That's what he's done for you. Well, there was a, in 1952, there was a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick who stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off of Catalina Island to swim to Los Angeles. And she had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel, which she did. And she started swimming in towards L.A., and the fog came in, and it got very cold, and she couldn't go any further. After 15 hours of swimming, she said, I've got to stop. I can't go on. She begged to be taken out of the water, and her mother was on the boat right next to her, and she said, Mother, take me out of the boat. Her mother said that she was very close to the shore, but finally she could not do it. But then when she got out of the boat, she got into the lifeboat, the fog cleared, and there was the shore half mile away. And Florence Chadwick said, if I had known about the end, I would have made it. Do you see the shore? Have you a glimpse of glory and what heaven is all about for you? One glimpse of heaven will get you through this day and the next day because you know where you're going to be. That is my prayer, that this experience that we will have in the next few weeks about heaven will open your eyes to that shore right out there in front of you. And let us pray. Oh, our Father, we thank you for your word. This is only dipping a toe, if we could say, to the edge of the shore of this great subject of heaven. Lord, lead us by your Spirit into these weeks that lie ahead and give us such a scripture and this vision of glory that we actually want to be there. Bless our hearts and apply your word to our need, whatever it may be. To the glory of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now let us confess our faith, which is part of our journey to heaven, in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
At this church every Sunday, we take communion because Jesus told his disciples to do that. And so let's sing, let us break bread together as we prepare for the communion. And we can stand if you would like.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you." After they finished eating, he took the cup and he blessed it, and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And let us now pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
our closing hymn today, we thought it only appropriate to do America the Beautiful because it was written right here about our gorgeous state. We think that the lady was up on top of Pike's Peak and she saw the Purple Mountain's majesty, and this song was the result of that. So let's stand and let's sing America the Beautiful.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.